It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Greg Jarrett.
I'm Kat Timpf.
I'm Jason Chaffetz, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. I'm John Saucier. Former British Prime Minister David Cameron making a visit to the United States this week, meeting with lawmakers, candidates, diplomats. The man who had become the British Foreign Secretary knows that U.S. support for Ukraine is vital for the country's survival in this Russian invasion.
He says it's going to be good for American security and it's going to be good for American jobs. But at the end of the day, you know, his basis of argument is we have to fight Putin in Ukraine. We have to help Ukraine win, or who is next?
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Foreign diplomats visit the United States all the time, but a high-profile visit this week has caught our attention. It's that of David Cameron, the British Foreign Secretary, former Prime Minister, making the rounds, pushing for more rounds of ammunition to be sent to Ukraine in the form of a funding package that's currently stalled out in Congress.
David Cameron resigned after losing the EU referendum, which is more commonly known as Brexit, and that was right in 2016.
We're talking about it today with Shannon Felton Spence, former UK Foreign Office staffer who worked for Cameron when he served as Prime Minister. These days, she's the Director of Communications at the Belfer Center at Harvard's Kennedy School.
He joined the private sector for a couple of years. And then about 6 months ago, out of nowhere, the UK Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, appointed him Foreign Secretary, which is equivalent to our Secretary of State. So he is Britain's top diplomat. He has got a portfolio that includes Ukraine primarily, but also development. And then, you know, after October 7th, obviously increasingly focused on Israel and Gaza. But he is, he's back. He's back and he is on the world stage and he has really stepped into it quite seamlessly.
Part of that world stage included the visit to Washington. Did he actually get together with Secretary Blinken while he was over here?
He did. Yeah, they had a press conference yesterday. It was very sort of Love Actually staged, if you remember. It's still odd to see him as Foreign Secretary and have his counterpart be Secretary Blinken, because it's hard to separate our memory of him being Prime Minister for 6 years, right? But they had a press conference yesterday where they talked about Israel and they talked about the purpose of the trip, which is really to persuade Republicans to pass the $60 billion funding bill for Ukraine that's been blocked in the U.S. House.
And the situation in Ukraine is not good right now. We keep hearing reports of them being low on ammunition or having no ammunition in the battlefield. We know Russia has recently taken a couple of strategic positions away from Ukraine. Otherwise, this war is, by some estimations, been a pretty big stalemate. But the longer it lingers, the more difficult things do become for Ukraine, because, you know, Russia is just this huge war machine. It's like the meat grinder. You know, we've heard that from so many experts, where it's a battle of attrition for them. But Ukraine does need help. How big of a deal is it for a European politician to come to the United States and address this country directly and say, hey, Ukraine needs this money and they need it right now?
So it's not out of the ordinary that a European leader or a foreign leader would come to Washington to sort of make their case for whatever it is that they need. I think that David Cameron has been out in front of this, honestly, since the beginning of 2024. I actually met with him with a delegation of members of the House of Congress back in January, and this was the main topic of the meeting. And the reality is, you know, in this relationship, the U.S. and the U.K. and the U.S. and Europe, the U.S. is still the big brother. Ukraine cannot win this war without the U.S. NATO has stepped up more than they ever had before. And obviously, the European countries continue to step up in different ways. But unless the U.S. comes through, it does not look good for Ukraine. And so it's not unusual. It's not unusual to be this persistent, I think. It's frankly, you know, his role. It's what his job is.
What is the sentiment in Great Britain, and how have they contributed to the war in Ukraine? Is the funding still flowing there? Is after a couple of years, things up in the air? What's it like for the British political landscape right now when it comes to Ukraine funding?
I was thinking about this morning, and I think that the United States has such a point of privilege because we are separated from these other continents by two, you know, giant oceans. And in both world wars, you know, we came in quite late. Europe does not have that same privilege. It is right on their doorstep. And so the last several times that I have been to London, the support for Ukraine and the desire to sort of step up and fight Putin in that way is sort of rabid, to be honest. And like I said, I traveled with a group of members of Congress in January to meet with their counterparts in the UK government. And that was their biggest takeaway as well. We were on the flight back and they were saying, God, the support from cab drivers and waiters and politicians and media for Ukraine is just substantially larger and felt more than we feel it in the United States.
So what was Cameron's sales pitch to the American politicians and really to the American public when it comes to funding for Ukraine? Because you mentioned all that money that's been held up in Congress. He would like to see that move. How did he present his argument to them?
It's basically exactly what I said. They can't do it without America. Ukraine needs America in order to win against Putin. And he keeps saying, you know, this is sort of our war effort. We haven't had one in 70, 80 years since the World War, but this is our time and it's critical and we need to step up. You know, the Ukrainians have showed incredible strength, incredible bravery for the past 2 years and some change, but they're running short. They need us to step up. And that is the case that he is making. It's interesting to see him in Washington because when he meets with the administration, the Biden administration and, you know, Secretary Blinken, they are in lockstep about that. This aid package passed the Senate. It hasn't passed the House, and that's for political reasons. And so him making a political case or trying to find whatever is the secret key political case to Republicans that will help unlock the aid and get it to Ukraine, it's interesting to watch. He says it's going to be good for American security and it's going to be good for American jobs. But at the end of the day, you know, his basis of argument is we have to fight Putin in Ukraine. We have to help Ukraine win, or who is next?
British Foreign Secretary David Cameron in Washington, D.C. this week, pushing for more American aid to be sent to Ukraine and the country's defense against a Russian invasion. And it wasn't only Washington where the former British Prime Minister visited. We're on today with Shannon Felton-Spence, who at one time worked for Cameron. These days, she's the Director of Communications at the Belfer Center at Harvard's Kennedy School. And she's going to talk about why Mr. Cameron's diplomatic travels brought him all the way to Florida. We'll have much more for you next. Shannon, I wanted to ask you, because we talked earlier in this conversation about David Cameron meeting with the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, but we also have reports that he talked to Donald Trump as well. Now, is Cameron politically, historically more left or right leaning, and why would it benefit him to speak with Donald Trump?
It's a little bit of a lazy argument to say that the Tories or the conservatives in the UK are sort of the equivalent of Republicans. It's not exactly the case. If it were the case, the proper analogy would be that they are more moderate Republicans, but they are the conservative party. David Cameron was prime minister when Donald Trump ran for president the first time in 2016, and he was not a fan of him. In fact, I was in charge of running primary campaign outreach in the state of New Hampshire in January of 2016. Donald Trump was only one of many in the Republican primary field at that point. But we had a policy that we weren't to engage with the Trump campaign. And that was based off of some of the rhetoric and some of the policies he was putting through the media, in particular, the Muslim ban. So they are historically not fans of each other. But look, going to Mar-a-Lago was a suggestion that was made by the British embassy in order to accomplish the larger goal, which is go and speak to the man who is the head of the Republican Party in the US, talk to him, make your case, and see if you can use him as a tool in the toolbox to get that aid package flowing. And so that's what he did. I don't think it's unusual. I think it's unusual only because he had to go to Florida instead of Washington for it, or instead of New York or whatever. I guess it's a little odd to go to Mar-a-Lago, but such is life. It's odd because these two characters don't historically like each other, but it is not, it's in no way improper for a sitting government minister of a foreign country to meet with a leading political presidential candidate. To talk about, you know, long-term goals and long-term objectives. And frankly, Keir Starmer, who is the head of the Labour Party and maybe prime minister next year in the UK, has come to Washington and done the same thing for his causes. So it's not unusual at all.
Now, of course, Cameron talked in the United States about the war in Ukraine, but you also mentioned off the top the war in the Middle East as well with Israel, which is a bit of a controversial topic in this election year. What did Cameron have to say about support for Israel or just that war in general?
Yeah, listen, I mean, Cameron is very, as I think we all are, is concerned about the humanitarian disaster crisis that is happening in Gaza. And how do we get aid into these civilians as quickly as possible? But in terms of policy, he's in lockstep with the Biden administration at this moment. Him and Secretary Blinken answered questions sort of very much in the same way. They're not out of step in policy. I don't know what was said behind those closed doors, but that is somewhere where the U.S. and the U.K. are standing together on their stance on Israel and the war in Gaza.
An important moment in world history, really, in an election year. You have two major wars going on. It's like, we don't know where all this is going, but we do appreciate the insight. Shannon Felton Spence, Director of Communications for the Belfort Center at Harvard Kennedy School. As always, Shannon, really appreciate your unique insight and for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.